Hallelujah. How's everybody today?
Blessed and highly flavored.
Amen. Oh, glory. There's nothing like the presence of God. Can I have this up just a little? Yeah. Hallelujah. Everybody hear me? Oh, glory. Well, without further ado, come on up, Greg, where you at? Hallelujah. Yeah. The devil lost another one.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Raising up soldiers and equipping them for battle. That's what it's about. You know, I might just share one quick thing, and that is, as God is raising us up, the enemy raises up because he tries to prevent us from going forward. Amen? That's his job. That's a part of reality. And one of the things we keep losing sight of who we are. If the enemy can convince you that you're not who God made you to be, then he's got you. The nine-month discipleship is a place of birth. That's what it's all about. 9 months represents birth. But after your 9 months, you better battle.
Amen.
Because if you're not in the battle, you'll be a casualty. Amen. And we've been beaten, bruised, and used enough. Now it's time to beat your enemy.
Amen.
Amen. That's why we're here. This is what we're learning about. We're here to fulfill the call of battle, the purpose to destroy Satan's kingdom, and the destiny to infiltrate. That's what we're called. That's what we're supposed to do. If we're not doing those things, we're not fulfilling Christ-like life. And that's called Christian. We're to be aggressive and not passive. We are to battle, and there's no failure. Everything to us is victory. Amen. So we just lift to you right now, Father, your servant Greg, who has been faithful, who's been true, who's battled, and who's seen. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you continue to go before him, that you would snare his enemies in their nets while he escapes safely, that you would be his rear guard, that you would keep his eyes open, ears open, and heart open, that you would establish his steps and his thoughts, and that you'd raise him to the next level of service, the next level of battle, and the next level of victory. Now, Lord, we pray blessing upon him. Let your face shine upon him. Let the rivers of living water flow through him. And wherever he goes, let him give a drink in your name of your presence. And may you prosper him with health, financial, and favor in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Want to say something?
Sure. I just, and all of you that are members of this ministry, you guys know the power that's here. So I guess those people who are watching more than who's here, this place is amazing. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for my rescue, for Alyssa's rescue, for making me into the man I always wanted to be, and for making me into the father that she finally deserves. Thank you. Amen.
Hallelujah! You know, even his daughter's in the discipleship. Praise God, isn't it wonderful? It can be a family affair.
Amen.
So that he can be the father that God called him to be.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise, and we are honored to watch your hand move in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, bro. Oh, glory. Yes. Awesome, isn't it? It's awesome to watch God move. You know, I just came back from New York, and I watched God move. He didn't move to New York. I want you to know that. He's still here, too. But we watch what the Lord has given us here, that they're using the same curriculum, the same word of God, the same power of God to change lives there. And they are changing lives there. Things are happening. People are being restored, and God is getting the glory. Amen? You know, as I was sharing about this battle, I was at this event. It was called Kingdom Bound, and it's like Woodstock for Christians.
They have all these powerful bands there, Third Day and all, you know, whatever, all of these big name groups. I didn't go to any concerts. I mean, they're nice, but I don't need any entertainment. I want the presence of God. And I'm not saying that it's bad or anything like that, because God's presence is in these concerts also. But I was there to represent what God has done in Total Freedom and their program there. And I ran across many believers. And one of the things that really just, and they're walking around, they're buying T-shirts, they're buying jackets, they're buying all kinds of stuff. If it got cold enough, I had to buy a sweatshirt one night. And some of these kids, a lot of them were kids, and they're walking around with skulls. They're walking around with accursed items. They're walking around all of these things that they don't know. And this one kid was walking by, and I mean, he was just promoting darkness on his shirt. You know, I wasn't jumping out of the booth and attacking everyone like the evangelist, but I thought about it. But so I was just like, Lord, you just send the ones that you want me to minister to. Well, I stayed pretty busy and all kinds of things. And this one kid came by, and I said, are you a believer? And he said, yes. I said, you know, you love Jesus? Yes. Then why do you promote death? He said, what do you mean? I said, the skull promotes death. You're to promote life. I said, do you want to promote life or death? He said, life. He says, I'm going to go home and throw it out. I said, praise God, don't give it to nobody. That just hit something in me in the area of battle. What are people battling? You know, we battle the powers of darkness. But there's something that we're really battling for, and that's reality. We are battling for reality because so many people get so easily deceived that they're not battling for reality. Reality is not what you see, it's what you don't see because of the influence of the unseen realm. We are battling for the true reality. You know, as you're praising and worship, you can sit here and stand, lift your hands and sing the songs. But are you really worshiping Him? See, that's battling for reality, because the reality that He is alive, that He does see, He does hear, and He does want to have fellowship with you. That's reality. See, but sometimes we just go through the motions because there's really not a reality to us. Or there might have been once a reality, but then the enemy has separated us from reality and put us in the reality of the natural realm instead of the reality of the unseen realm. You and I are battling for the reality of the unseen realm, because that's where we came from. Would you turn to James chapter 4? James chapter 4. In verse 1. James 4, verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? It says what? Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your what? Desires for pleasure that war in your members. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures or on your flesh or according to your will. He says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but He gives more grace? Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the only way that you are going to resist the devil is to submit to God. So by submitting to God, what you're battling for is reality. It is the battle for reality. There are wars and fights, he says. These are called battles, aren't they? There's three levels of battle. There's a battle of the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and pride. That is called the pride of life. Those are three battles that we battle. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And there are three levels of desire that we battle. We battle the desire of our past, the desires of our present, and the desires of our future. You may, well, what do you mean the desires of the future are the things that you are hoping for that are not of God. There are also battles of three levels of influence. There's the influence of the world. There's the influence of your memories. And there's the influence of the forces of evil. These are all battles, and all these battles come down to one thing. They're all trying to keep us deceived of reality. So the battle, all this concludes, is a battle of reality. These are the areas and levels that we battle. We're not only battling for truth, but we're battling for the reality. What is real? In Ephesians 6, do I need to repeat those? Good. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickeries, deceptions of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." These are forces of evil that battle against the believer and the non-believer. And their purpose is to keep them in a state of deception, blindness, and fear. I'm going to say that again. It's to keep them in a state of deception, blindness, and fear. Their purpose is to prevent them from entering the battle for reality. They do not want you to enter the battle. They want you to be passive. You never progress, grow, or mature by being a passive so-called Christian. In fact, there's no such thing as a passive Christian. I didn't see the disciples passive in Revelation 12. The battle for reality, for what is real. You know, when we came into this world, we had a desire already placed in us to seek reality. What is real? Why? Because we began to seek truth. We wanted to know who we are, why we're here, and where we're going. What's really real? What's this whole thing about? Why would God make me? Is there a God? All of these questions that we had when we were in the world. In Revelation 12 and verse 7, it says, "And war broke out in heaven." This word heaven is a representation of where God dwells. War broke out where God dwells. There was rebellion. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, and they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer, in the place where God dwells. And they were removed from there. So the great dragon was cast where? Out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast where? To the earth, and his angels were what? Cast with him. They were cast with him. And he goes out to deceive what? The whole what? The whole world. Wow. So understand that in this arena, that a war already started. So we are in a war, and there's battles every single day. Every time, there's a battle over every decision. Every decision you make, there's a battle. Remember that the ruler of this earth is Satan and his kingdom. Now, the religious can't accept the arena that there are demons all over the place. Because who was sent to the earth? Was God's angel sent to the earth? No. So there's that influence of demonic influence constantly around me and you. Not only that, we were born in darkness. We were born as children of Satan. But we are born again children of Christ. So not only do we have a battle outward, we got a battle inward. Amen? And he is sent to deceive the whole earth. Go to Galatians 6. Again, one of the things the enemy wants to do is keep you in a state of deception, blindness, and fear. So you what? Will not battle. You know, there are people that can come and worship but never battle. Now, worship is a part of battle, but then there's an extension of battle. That's battle in prayer. That's everyday battle. Every morning battle. Be first strikers. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 3, would you read it with me? If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he what? So he deceives himself. Deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Verse 7. Do not be what? Deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, that he will also reap. It's amazing that people don't realize that. And they're wondering why things aren't happening yet. But they don't realize that they have sowed to the flesh. Because it says this, for he who sows to the flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will reap everlasting life. But let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart, if we don't give up. So we don't want to deceive ourselves, do we? You know, just because you're doing, you know, there was that one gentleman in the Bible that he went to the Lord and said, you know, Lord, I tithe, I give alms, I do this, I feed the sick, I go here, I go visit people, I do all of these things. And the Lord said, good, now sell all you have and follow me. And he left. See, Jesus is not interested in what you do for him. He's interested in you're willing to follow him. Because then when you follow him, you do his will. See, there's a lot of people going out there doing all of this stuff, and God's never told them. So they have a form of religion, and they think that they're somebody because they feed the hungry every Saturday, or they do this, or they do that, when the Lord's not even told them to do that. Because they're not followers. And following is a representation of relationship. So if there's no relationship, and there's no release of commands what's supposed to happen, or what you're supposed to do, then you do whatever you think is right, or what's good. But in the eyes of God, it's different. Because he wants me and you to do his will, not our own. But the Word of God says this. The Word of God says, go do this. Really? Well, let me share something with you. Because I've seen people that says, the Word of God says, go rescue and go do this. And you know what they did? They went to a crack house and never came back. Because it wasn't God's time for them to go do this. Same thing in relationships. People get married out of God's time. People get jobs. They buy things out of God because God hasn't said it. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing and all things in prayer and supplication. What does prayer represent? Relationship. So when he says, this is the one, it's the one. When he says, it's time, it's time. That's relationship. In the multitude of counsel, there's safety and wisdom. That's not only individuals, but it's in the multitude of counsel with your Father. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of counsel. In Mark 13. Verse 5, Mark 13, verse 5, and Jesus answering and began to say, take heed that what? No one deceives you. That no one deceives you. How many of y'all know that somebody can deceive you? A person can deceive you, can't they? Amen? They not only can deceive you, but they can give you false counsel. They'll have a form of godliness because it agrees with your desire. That's why the Bible says, be careful, because many will have itching ears seeking those who agree with them, but it's not God's will. He says, for many will come in my name saying, I am he, and will deceive many. Remember, the reason why the enemy wants to deceive you, keep you in a state of deception, blindness, and fear, is so that you don't battle for reality. He doesn't want you to battle. And if you don't battle for reality, you will stay deceived. Ephesians chapter 2. Is everybody okay? Amen. You know, some individuals, they have reality one day, and the next day it's wiped away, like somebody took an eraser.
That's all gone.
You know why? They didn't battle that day. Right. Well, I prayed. Yeah, you might have prayed, but you didn't battle.
Oh, Lord, thank you for the Mercedes-Benz. Oh, Lord, you know what I need. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord.
There's no battle. No calling down fire, no binding and loosening, no fight. Just to fulfill my desire, fill my pleasures, no battle. How many of y'all know that Jesus is the commander-in-chief of the spiritual military army of God Almighty? Well, if he's the commander-in-chief of a military, why do we need to get dressed with the full armor of God to dance? Not that that's not a part of warfare, because some of us need to shake off our religious garbage. Ephesians chapter 2. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? And he says, in you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this air, according to the prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power of the air is Satan's kingdom that rules not only the earth, but the whole atmosphere. Does everybody got it? That's why when you bite an apple, it turns brown, it's going to decay. Everything promotes death in this realm because of the prince of the power of air. The spirit who now works in, everyone say in, the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the what? Lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. These desires, remember, the enemy is always influencing desire. Desire. See, this is where we must be able to discern whether this desire is of God or not, whether it's God's time or not, whether it's God's will or not. And one of the things the enemy does is because he likes to blind us, we can't see it all the way through. So if we can't see it all the way through, we're in deception. Does everybody got this? We must see everything all the way through. If we are short-sighted, you can be sure there's a spirit there preventing you to see it through. It is called the presence of evils, called sin. He is preventing you from seeing things all the way through. Hallelujah. So there, we were known as children of wrath. The prince of power of air, again, is associated with the atmosphere and all the world. In 1 John chapter 2, in verse 15, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If anyone loves the things of the world, the love of the Father, this is the eternal Father." So if you're a lover of this world, then you're under the other father. Does everybody understand? And that father is known as the prince of power of air who rules this earth. Verse 16, read it with me. "For all that is in the world," the what? Come on, we're going to talk about the three battles. Amen? Three levels of battle. "The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." So you and I are battling those three levels. Every day, every decision, everywhere you go, it's constantly there against you. No matter what you do, it's always there. We are in the prince of power of air. We are in darkness here. We are the only light that shines in darkness. We've got to come to that reality and battle for reality. What is real? What is temporary? What is eternal? What is truth? What is air? What is a lie? If we're not battling for these things, we are deceived. We are blinded, and fear has engulfed you and taken you as a slave. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 17, it says, "And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." How many want to abide forever? So is the will of man going to do it? The will of the devil? The will of God. That is it. He says this, "Little children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifested that none of them were of us." Why? Because they did not battle. They did not battle for reality. It says, verse 20, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." In other words, not only do you know all things, but you're able to see all things. You're able to discern all things. But that cannot be established unless you're one who battles. It cannot be practiced unless you're one that battles. This is not a form of religion. And that's one of the things I think the enemy tries to implement, because we have been brought up in a religious state, deceived. You know, religion was started by the devil. That's why he came and set up everything to be worshipped. That's why he left the throne room of God, because he wanted to be worshipped. He started his own religion. Me, myself, and I. That's his trinity. Oh, so it is the anointing. The anointing, says, and the anointing, you will know all things. He says, "I've not written you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lies of the truth. He's saying, listen, you knew the truth. Why aren't you battling? What caused you to stop what you were doing when you had victory? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Remember, the enemy, the ruler of the air of the world, wants to keep us in a deceptive state, blindness and fear, so we do not battle for reality. What is real? One of the things he implements is a flawed belief system. So if you're not one who battles for truth and reality, then you will be under the deception. Deception has a flawed belief system. Where there is a flawed belief system, your perception is incorrect. Because you only know how to see by what you believe. Has everybody got that? So if you've been taught, for this example, somebody might have came up to you and started talking to you about a person. Man, they set a complete picture of this person. So you're getting ready to meet this person. You're thinking this person's a real jerk or a real nice person. But when you meet that person, you come to find out that it is the totally opposite of what this person said because of their perception of that person, because what they've been told is incorrect. So now you have this perception of this person until you truly meet them and find out for yourself. That's what the enemy does. The enemy loves to bring us in a place of separation, a place of deception. See, if he can isolate you, boy, he can put all of his belief system in you and take out all the truth. He drains you. And as he begins to drain you, then you're thinking, oh my gosh, nobody loves me. Everybody's against me. And there goes the tongue of failure, tongue of defeat, going to a woe is me syndrome. Revelation 3. In verse 18, Jesus said something very powerful. Actually, I want to start a little bit. Jesus said something. He was talking to the church of Laodicea. And in verse 15, he says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And because you say I am rich and I have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked, and deceived, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Here's the conclusion. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. The anointing, eternal presence, power, and truth. You battle for God's presence. Because you're battling for reality. You're battling for God's truth. You're battling for his power to come. Because you're battling for reality. The Holy Spirit is who makes everything real. And without the Holy Spirit, things are not real. We fall into false reality. Deceptive reality. Reality to me and you then becomes only the things that are tangible and of the world. Oh, this is real. You know what? It's going to go one day. This will not last forever. I want to associate with things that are eternal, not temporary. Anoint your eyes. Anointing brings true sight. Amen? In 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you know, we have a teaching that says, who told you that? Who told you that? See, people just take those thoughts and, oh, it must be mine. No. Who told you that? See, they never see it through. They only take that thought and never go any further. They take that thought which promotes a desire. Oh, I get a lot of people that this must be God because I have the desire. How many of y'all know the devil likes to give you a desire? Did we just read it? The desires are the pleasure of the world for self. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us more exceeding the eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. So if you want to look at the things that are not seen, do you have to battle? Yes, because you're battling for what? Reality. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, in my experiences as a believer, there's so many times when I almost want to shake somebody. Come on, man, wake up. In fact, I had a dream one time I was shaking people. But I was telling them, wake up, because they were like walking around like zombies. I was shaking him. Wake up, wake up. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And I was walking through a college of all of these students, and I was running around saying, wake up, wake up. He's coming. And I was screaming this to them, and they were like, And I finally got so frustrated, I got on my knees, and I began to weep and cry. And I was crying, and I kept saying, Father, Father, awaken them, I know you're coming. And I woke up. Hallelujah. Unseen is the eternal. Seen is the temporary. We must continue to battle for reality. Well, you know, we've got to begin to discern the presence of evil and the presence of God. If you do not remove the presence of evil through battle, you don't make room for the presence of God. That's our responsibility. So while we praise and worship, we're actually pushing back the enemy, and we're making room for God. Has everybody got it? So we're pushing the enemy and making room for the Lord's presence. God doesn't come without invitation. We draw the presence of God by our thirst and hunger. If you're not thirsty and hungry, you won't get the presence of God. The Bible says, those who thirst and hunger for righteousness shall be filled. That's why we battle. We can proclaim to be a Christian, passive, and do nothing, and miss all the things God's trying to not only get to us, do through us, and expand his kingdom, and have no reward when we get home. But it's not about a reward. We do what we do because we love him, because there's relationship established. We're not doing anything for a reward. We want to see souls saved. We have a desire in our heart. And if we don't have the desire to even serve where you're at, there's something not right. Wherever God has you in fellowship, you should have a desire to serve there, or your heart ain't right. Hello? Oh, glory. Glory, glory. Let's go a little further. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Is everybody there? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 8. Now you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be what? Deceived. Neither fornicator, nor idolater, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Why have they become that way? Because they've never battled for reality. Has everybody got it? And let me tell you, people backslide because they stop battling. Amen? And verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be put under the power of any. Nothing. Oh, hallelujah. Worship of idols. Worship of self, selling of the soul. For the world of lust and sin, no battle of reality. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to talk about the therefores. The therefores are suggestions from God to do this. Therefores. When you see therefore, he's saying, if you'll do this, these are suggestions of God for you to get set free. Therefore. They're like guidelines. Therefore, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, he says what? Therefore, if you'll do this, if you'll what? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Therefore, 1 Peter chapter 1. Therefore, come out from among them, those things. Don't touch anything unclean with thoughts, with words, with emotions, with individuals. Don't touch anything unclean. You know, God never interrupts himself. The enemy always likes to interrupt what God is doing. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, let's speak it together. What does it say? Therefore what? Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, that's your past, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who is without partiality, judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in the fear, reverence, and respect of God Almighty, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, the Bible says, be vigilant, because your adversary is seeking whom he can devour. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, in verse 9, therefore know, he's saying, listen, this is something you need to know. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for a thousand generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments, the statutes, and judgments which I command you today to observe them. Therefore, know that the Lord God, he's God, and he does repay. In Romans 8, in verse 12, therefore. Is everybody there? Romans 8:12. What's it say? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2. The therefores. Whether these are to assist us so that we will battle for reality. Therefore. In verse 7. Is everybody there? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. Therefore, to you who believe, he's precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because of disobedience to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, that they may be your good works, may see your good works which they observe. Glorify God in the day of visitation. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we what? Drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. He has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels, but one steadfast in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or a son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. We're made a little lower than the angels. You know that, right? You have crowned him with glory and honor. You set over him the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he may, by the grace of God, might taste death for every single one of us, which he has. And I want to close in Ephesians 4. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, in testifying to the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness. And verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with what? Greediness. Look at verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. You have not so learned Christ. You have no relationship with him. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you do what? Put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to this deceitful lust, but renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another in tender heart, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. One more verse. Therefore, see it? Next. Be what? Imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, giving himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Battle for reality. This is not a religion. This is not a game. This is reality. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I pray that the seed that has been imparted, the reality seed that has been parted, be covered by the blood and protected in the name of Jesus. That it would grow and bear fruit for not only your glory, but a desire to serve. Lord, I thank you for everyone that is here today and all of our listeners. And to further grow and mature in the Spirit, I encourage you to go to the eternallibrary.org.